Welcome to the second season of Operational Harmony, Balancing Business and Mental Well-Being, where we achieve goals without sacrificing peace. Our host, Nikki, is the owner and founder of Nikki's Office, where she specializes in social media management, business audits, and business coaching. Her journey through mental health and entrepreneurship not only brings awareness, but also equips her with valuable coping skills. This unique experience offers a fresh perspective on approaching challenges and innovating in different ways. Let's introduce our guest.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Howe with Impact Value. I'm a business and lifestyle coach.
Okay. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so I started business coaching. Oddly enough, I started with missionaries. Even though they're not businesses, they run like a business. So I went on a missions trip to Peru. And in that missions trip, the actual missionary came to me and said, "Hey, Holy Spirit told me I need to talk to you." I was like, "Okay, sure." But I'd already been there a few days, and it was hard to even talk to this guy because he was being pushed and pulled, and it was hard for me to get a few words in. He was so busy. But when he came and sat down and he said, "Hey, Holy Spirit said you could help me," I don't like giving unsolicited advice. But once he said that, I was like, "Sure, I could help you with your ministry if that's what you're asking." He said, "Yes, it's a mess." I said, "Well, yeah, you're not delegating." And he said, "What do you mean I'm not delegating? That's all I do all day long is delegate." "You're wrong. I am delegating." I was like, "No, you're deciding, not delegating. There's a difference. Because if you are delegating, you wouldn't be constantly answering your phone or being pulled this way or being pulled that way, making that decision, putting that fire out." He was like, "Yeah, I see what you mean. So tell me more." And that just kind of spiraled into this really cool, I laid out what I've done for my business with systems, automation, delegation, in a way to free me and my wife up in our business. I applied that to his ministry and it worked beautifully. He actually just left my house this morning. When he comes back to the States, he stays with me because he tries to still learn and get coached as much as he can to help his ministry. But he's able to do all sorts of things now. He's got 5 ministries that he's in charge of. Back then he had 2, and it was so much, it was about to drive him nuts. It was hard on his family, his wife, and his members of his church. They were constantly, you know, battling the disorganization. So that's kind of where I started with business coaching. And I even went as far as to Uganda to help a missionary over there. And she's actually somebody that I coach still to this day as well. So it's kind of cool. And you never know whether something like this will lead you. As long as you have the knowledge and wisdom to apply stuff like that, I believe the doors will open up for you, as long as you're willing to step through them.
How do you get out there what you do? Is it just podcasts? Do you have social media? How do you put your name out there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So mainly, I love using podcasts to bring the awareness, because a lot of people, they don't know me. So that's one way I get the message out. Another way is social media. Social media is a big way. And I've built a community. And I do that through social media. The group's on there, and that's where I find most of the people to introduce into the community. And it's called Moxie Tribe. So Moxie meaning perseverance. So it's the mindset of we're going to persevere together. And something really cool happens. I don't know if you go to networking events or if you ever have in the past. I'd rather shoot myself in the foot, I'll be honest with you. That it's all one-sided. So let me explain. I do workshops, these business workshops. I go to BNIs or I have in the past, and I go to a chamber events. And whenever I get a chance to speak, I'll ask, "Who came here ready to sell?" And everybody in the room raises their hand. Then I'll say, "Who came here to buy?" And all those hands go down real fast. Right? No one's there to buy anything from anybody. They're only there to sell themselves. So this networking group or community, whatever you want to call it, a tribe, it's a tribal mentality of I'm not here to sell myself. I'm here to level you up. I'm going to use my talents, gifts, and abilities to help people in the room. So what we do is we go around the room, we ask them what they're doing, what are some of their setbacks, and how can the tribe help? And it's a must that everybody in that room have a notepad. It's a Zoom, just kind of like this. We're in a Zoom room, and everybody must have a pad and a pen ready, because when people speak, they're supposed to write it down. Even if they don't have something right then and there, there should be something even as small as hitting the share button on something on social media. If that's the least we can do, that actually amplifies what they're doing quite a bit. You get 20, 30 people in a room and they all press the share button with something that you're promoting. That just made whatever you're promoting hit so many different eyes that they normally wouldn't have hit unless they made that ask. So it's a little bit of a different shift, a paradigm shift, so to speak. Like I said, I can't stand networking groups. I love networking. I can't stand networking groups because they're only one-sided. They're geared towards their selfishness type thing. And another thing I'll add is we apply, within this group, we apply the law of sowing and reaping, right? And I think this is part of today's society that they have, we're getting things a little bit wrong, is that we want to reap a harvest that we didn't plant seeds for and that we didn't care for the crops. So when going in this room, that's what we're doing first. We're saying, I'm not here to sell myself. I'm here to show my value. I'm here to plant seeds and show my value. And in that, there will be reciprocation. It will come back to me. It might not come back to me and from the person that I helped, but it will come back to me. Because when you help somebody, guess what they're now going to see you as? They're going to see you as that go-to person. Once you're known as that within the group, they're going to speak up for you so you don't have to sell yourself. They're going to say, oh, you're going through that problem. Well, Jeremy just helped me with that yesterday. You should book a call with him because he is definitely willing to put himself out there and help you. And that's just like the little paradigm shift that I'm kind of growing this community. And we're already somewhere around 20 people now. And I just started at the beginning of January. So it's already growing and getting some momentum. We meet every week. And it's a beautiful thing. It's already international.
When I network to help. My business is set up so that I can help. I am getting trouble on my social medias and stuff because I don't have one focus. And everybody's like, niche down, you should have one thing that you're doing. I can't do that because it bores the tears out of me. And I just can't. So, like, I do social media, I do video editing, I do office management, I do podcasting. So, for me, I have trouble getting, like, viewers or people on my Facebook page because Facebook doesn't know what to do with me. And to be quite honest, I don't know what to do with me most days. So it's understandable. And I have noticed going to networking meetings, some people are all just like, yeah, I'm going to sell this thing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need that. I don't know anybody who does either.
Exactly. Exactly. And we enter those rooms. Obviously, we're there to connect. But when it's there to connect only to sell, no one likes to be sold to. I don't care if it's something I need. I don't want you to sell it to me. Rather, I would have it be offered, which feels different. And I also teach that within business coaching, that there's you make the offer, that offer is only going to speak to the people that have that problem that they don't want or results that they want and don't have. It's not going to speak to anybody else in that room. And everybody else in that room is not going to feel like they're being sold to because it wasn't a sales pitch. It was an offer. A little bit of a different paradigm shift as well. I'm all about those small shifts, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where I do a lot of lifestyle coaching. And I apply this to everything, really, but lifestyle coaching, especially that small shifts, small daily shifts impact your life greatly. So I have something that I call the 1% rule. So the 1% rule is you take 1% of your day and you dedicate that to your goal. So you write down your goal. You got to make sure that you have very detailed in what it is that you want for your life. And I have ways that I pull that out for my clients. And I'll share that with you in a second. But you detail it perfectly. Then what I do is I help them reverse engineer it into daily steps. 15-minute steps. So that's 1% of your day. 14 minutes and 40 seconds is the exact 1% of your day, but we just rounded up to 15. Everybody should be able to take 15 minutes of their day and work towards the life that they actually want. What happens is everybody's living a life, or I say everybody, most people on this planet, they're living a life that they don't want, but yet they tell themselves, say, they have to do it. But that's not the truth. The truth is they're choosing it, but they could choose something different. The problem is they don't know what they want. Most of the time, when I ask this question, hey, what is it that you really want for your life? Like, if you could wake up tomorrow and every day after that, what is it that you would actually like to do with your life? And they'll look up and, you know, kind of look up and to the right and be like, yeah, I don't really know. I have a vague idea, maybe this or that, but I don't know in detail. So then I ask this question. Okay, so what are the things that you dislike about your life? And then they'll give me a laundry list of things that they dislike or downright hate about their life. So what we do is we do the opposite of that. So we say, okay, you strongly dislike being in traffic every day. What's the opposite of that for you? And I have them tell me. It's none of my opinion. I extract that from them. We put it down and I nail them down to details of their ideal life. Why this is important? Because the next step after that is something I call the 3D blueprint. The 3D blueprint is I take maybe three or four big goals that they want to have. Experiences are in the first column. So if you want to experience something, we write that down. We already have the details on a separate sheet of paper, but we write that down on the experiences. I want to experience, fill in the blank. And the next column is growth. How would I have to grow in order to experience this? What books do I have to read? What kind of courses do I have to take? You know, night college, whatever. But I have to grow. What do I have to do in order to grow to experience that? And then the third column is contribution. What do I contribute to the world by doing this? So that's what the 3D blueprint is. It gives us an idea in three different parts of your life, what this experience would do for you and others. And it just helps you kind of think outside the box and think not so much, it has you think personally, like what are things I have to do to experience this? I definitely want to experience this. Oh, but what else would it do for the world by this? Once we do that, I do something called a visual prayer. So a visual prayer is essentially a guided meditation, but I use the five senses. You're going to touch things, you're going to see things, you're going to hear things, you're going to taste things. You see what I mean? They're going to experience this in all five senses. And I usually have a questionnaire that I ask them certain questions, like what kind of foods do you like? What kind of fruits, especially because I'm really good at using the fruit. And when they bite into it, it gets all over their mouth or something. I just really get descriptive on walking them through this ideal life, you know, or if they like to go to the beach, if that's one of their experiences that they want to have as a lifestyle. I'll say, okay, well, wiggle your toes into the sand. Can you feel the coolness of the sand in between your toes? So I'm really descriptive. And what that does is it hits the subconscious, because your subconscious does not know if it's real or not. If you're experiencing it up here, especially in detail, and you're using the five senses, and we also try to hit the emotion. Like if I'm not making you happy cry, if I'm not hitting you in the emotions to where you're crying happy tears, I didn't do my job. Because what I want to do is I want to make it so real that you're so grateful that you're getting to experience this experience right now. And what happens is that's like a manifestation catalyst. It is going to get you there so much faster. And this, I'd use it in my daily life. I get to live the lifestyle that I want. I get to achieve the goals that seem so big and scary a couple months ago, but I'm actually experiencing it now for the second time. See, everything happens twice. Once in the mind, and then in reality. Something as small as getting up to use the bathroom. I'm subconsciously, I'm seeing what I have to do to get up and go to the bathroom. So you kind of I don't want to use the word trick. You're impressing it on the subconscious mind, which is your programming. So after this visualization, as long as you believe that you really did that, right, which is hard not to once you hit the five senses and you hit the emotion, as long as you believe it afterwards, we can take daily action to get there. It's just like a recipe. You take daily action 15 minutes a day. So why would I use 15 minutes a day? It's a way to get you started. Because you might do an hour, you might do 2 hours, you might do 4 hours working towards your goal. But if you set 15 minutes as your bare minimum, like I can go above this all day long, but I cannot go below it, it's non-negotiable. I am working on my ideal life. So the hardest part for people is the action part, getting started. So this prompts you to daily not miss your 15 minutes. I don't care if it's 11:45 at night. You're going to put that 15 minutes in before that clock turns 12, right? That's what you should, that attitude you should have. And then you go on to really build the life that it is that you want.
So when you're doing this coaching, what are some of the most frequent things people don't want in their life anymore?
The most consistent, I would say, is working for somebody else. And that's why this goes hand in hand with business coaching as well. Mm-hmm. And this is it. We tell ourselves we have to go to a job that we dislike with people that we can't stand, working for somebody that you'd rather not work for, the amount of pay that you want more for your life, right? But yet they keep doing it. And the reason is, and this is why I ask, what do you dislike about your life? The reason I ask that is because we are geared more towards the negative. Mm-hmm. They can tell me in detail what they dislike. It's hard for them to articulate what it is they do want for their life. I'm a master at pulling that out of people. It's not hard to. Once you really start going down that road of designing the life that you desire, it's easy to really play with the imagination and say, oh, I would love to be able to do this and love to be able to do that. And then you make a blueprint for it. And then you visualize it. And let it hit the emotion deep down. Emotion is very powerful. It's so you can remember it. That's the biggest reason. It's because when you have an emotional reaction to an experience, it helps you remember it. It locks it in. So that way, you're hitting so many areas by doing this, of what makes you, right? So you're mind, body, spirit. That's what we're all made up of. We neglect two of them primarily. We tend to only focus on the physical, but once you start tapping into the mental and the spiritual, it really does make sense to you. Okay, this is what I want for my life. This is what's going to feel good to my spirit. This feels good to my mind and my body. When you can think three-dimensional like that, it's always the best. And that's why I do the 3D blueprint as well. It helps you think three-dimensionally. Normally, we're all geared towards one dimension. So it kind of forces you to think outside that into what makes you who you really are. Does that make sense?
Yes. When you are starting, this is one of the things that I find myself in the habit of asking is, how does it start? So you have this person, however they came to you, how do you start? Like, the very first conversation you have with them is probably not, your goals are these, do this, right? So just what does it look like to start with the business side and the lifestyle coaching? Sorry.
Yeah, so either way, I kind of start out the same way. It's a lot of asking questions, right? That's what mainly coaching is, asking the right questions, and you'll get the right answers. But I usually, when I very first start out, I go with my non-negotiable. I have non-negotiables. If you're going to work with me, you want me as your coach, there's going to be some things that you definitely you're going to have to do. And, you know, housekeeping stuff. Make sure you're on time. If you're not, give me at least a 24-hour heads up if you're not going to be on the call. And then you have to reschedule within that week Those are some of my non-negotiables within reason. I understand people get sick or things happen, but I try to make sure I keep that standard up front. I'm serious about helping people. I need them to be serious about showing up. They are paying me, so I want to give them their money's worth and then some. So I'm always trying to go above and beyond of what somebody's hired me to do. But one of my main non-negotiables is they have to look at the world in two different ways, and that's it. If they don't, I can't coach them. And those two ways are lessons and blessings. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. It's not just a rhyme or a play on words, right? It is a mindset. So the lesson meaning that if something bad happens today, we're not going to cry about it in our sessions. You're going to tell me what you learned. What did you learn from whatever it is that you disliked? Because once you learn a lesson, you're less likely to repeat it. The other one is blessings, and that's kind of self-explanatory. But we don't just say, oh, I had a blessing or whatever. We talk about it. What we also learn from that. What was the blessing? And did you show gratitude at the moment? If not, let's show gratitude now. Because we can skip right over those blessings and miss them. Okay? But what it does is it forces their mind to always look for the good, the silver lining, because it's always there. So I'm really big on God's laws, right? So God has laws, the law of sowing and reaping is one of them. But one that people don't even think about or talk about is the law of duality, right? Mm-hmm. The law of duality is if there's an up, there's a down, if there's a left, there's a right, if there's a good, then there's a bad. So if you know that there's a good and a bad at in any moment, in any situation, let's focus on the good because it's always there. But short of somebody close to you passing away, let's always focus on the good. Whether that's something bad happened that you perceived that was bad, well, I'm training you to search for the lesson on whatever it was that happened, because that's a positive thing that we can focus on so we don't ever repeat it again, or at least not on purpose. And be honest with you, Nikki, it really helps me whenever some of my clients, they'll start going down that woe is me path and, oh, this happened or that happened. This is why I couldn't do this and this is why I couldn't do that. And I say, hold up. Where's the lesson? And then it has them like kind of reset themselves and like get their composure. You're right. That says non-negotiable. I've got to look for the lesson on this. I can't sit here and just wallow in it. I can't stay in this negativity. Because negativity is not going to do anything good for you. I mean, I've heard pessimists say, well, you know, what's that saying? The optimist made the airplane and the pessimist made the parachute. Okay. I choose to look at it like this. Somebody had a hard lesson and they learned a lesson and they came up with a parachute. But thinking negatively all the time is not going to help you. If there's a left, there's a right. If there's a up, there's a down. If you have a negative thought, flip that for the positive. It's going to help your life. It's going to help your relationships. It's going to help your business. It'll definitely help your lifestyle. So always find the good. So that's a great question. You didn't realize that was a loaded question you asked. That's usually how I start off because that sets the foundation for the next however many coaching calls I have with that person, is those non-negotiables.
Okay. Do you have an example of like your favorite like gotcha moment from doing this?
I've got so many. You say gotcha moment, like maybe a breakthrough that I've had on some of these calls. Yeah, man, yeah. That's why I do what I do. And by the way, I don't have to do coaching. It's not something that I feel like I ever have to do. It's something I get to do. I have 5-6 other businesses. This is the only one that requires me to actually be present and do. And I'll get into that later when it comes to systems and all that. We talked about that earlier. But the breakthroughs, I tell you, are time and time again when it says light bulb moments, right? Where they're like, oh, yeah, I had never looked at it that way. And when they apply it to their life, they have a breakthrough. And that's exactly why I do what I do. Same, you could take a high school coach, football coach or weightlifting coach, whatever. They have those same breakthrough moments when they're working with somebody and all of a sudden they're out there tackling, looking like they're ready to go hit the college level football. But 6 months ago, they didn't even know how to tackle. You see what I mean? Like, so those compounding moments turn into something big. So sometimes it's not like all of a sudden, wham, they had a breakthrough. It's those little bit over time. And then you look back, you say, you remember where you used to be? Do you remember how anxious you were? How chaotic your life was? Now look at what's going on. We got all these success stories every week. We're hearing new stuff that you're doing. The biggest one, though, I had, and this was a free one. I did a free challenge for somebody, 30-day challenge. And they had some medical stuff going on. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist or anything like that. But the big breakthrough that they had is terminal. Whatever they had, I'm not going to go ahead and speak it because I don't know if they're going to see this and I don't want to tell their business, but it was terminal. Mm-hmm. And they said, Jeremy, I want to let you know at the end of the 30-day challenge, I still have the issue, but my mind is completely flipped. I don't have bad days anymore. And that may not sound like a lot to somebody, but this was a man that had a lot of bad days. And this was actually one of my non-negotiables for my household that I shared with him that helped him flip that. Because I was hearing him say, yeah, yesterday was a bad day, or I had 3 bad days in a row. And it was always these bad days. So I asked him, I said, what? Can I tell you something that I need you to just to stick with it? And he said, yeah, I'm willing to try anything. I said, you're allowed to have a bad moment, but you're never allowed to have a bad day. Because that's a choice. And he said, wow, I've never heard that before. I'm just really used to just letting that flow out of my mouth, that I'm just having these bad days, but I'm going to try that. So I would work with him. Throughout the week, I was sending him text messages. Remember, you can have a bad moment, never a bad day. So at the end of the challenge, I asked him, I said, what was some of the biggest breakthroughs? What were some of the biggest things within 30 days that you have noticed? He said, man, I tell you that you telling me I was not allowed to have a bad day, I have not had a bad day since you told me that. I've had bad moments, and I let them pass. And it's changed my life. My relationships are better. My mental state is a lot better. I'm happier. And I now can travel and do these things that I've always wanted to do. And you know what? That to me was probably one of the biggest breakthroughs. And I've seen people completely transform. But just knowing that this man was tormented by his body, by a sickness in his body. But he's not anymore. Just at moments. And he lets it pass. And he continues with his day. That's a big breakthrough. I will add that something that I said it was from my household that's personal to me, because I have a daughter. She's 11 coming up next month. She'll be 11. But when she was about 4 years old, she was in preschool, I think, she came home one day and she said, acting sassy and just like arms crossed, mean face. I'm like, what's going on with you? She said, I'm having a bad day. I said, no, honey, you're not allowed to have a bad day. You're allowed to have a bad moment, but never a bad day. And then she kind of like slowly uncrossed her arms and slowly was like, okay. And she would remind me, if I was to ever let that come out of my mouth, she'd be like, no, daddy, remember, you're allowed to have a bad moment. But you're not allowed to have a bad day. So it was just something near and dear to me. And I try to really, when I hear those keywords, I hear a lot of the keywords that are self-talk. And I help try to rewrite that story. Right? Because what we tell ourselves is ultimately what we'll do. And going back to the visual prayer, that's what I'm trying to really imprint on the subconscious mind is a life that you do want, not what you don't want. We're not going to focus on that no more. So all those areas that I ask them, what do you dislike about your life? The reason why they keep getting it is because that's their focus. They know it with a passion. They know it with detail. So I try to flip that to say, nope, we're going to flip what it is you dislike, and we're going to take the opposite of that, nail down the details, make sure that is what you want, and then we're going to totally use our imagination to create it. Just like an architect building a house. He's got to have details. He's got to know exact measurements if you want that dream house to be built. If you never had a house built, you don't know the process. But if you have had a house built, you know that there's painstaking details that goes into it. Because if you have a light switch on the wrong side, it's going to be an issue, right? There's going to be a problem. Same thing with your ideal life. Why not take the same amount of care, same amount of effort into creating it, the life that you do want? Because all day long, we're creating the life we don't want. We don't realize it. It's a choice.
So you've spoken a couple times about systems. What are those?
What are systems?
No, what are you? Well, maybe both. I know what systems are, but I'm not sure everybody on the planet does. Right. So maybe a little bit of both. All right, systems, and then your, like, what are your systems? Because you said you have systems.
Yeah, so systems are just anything that's going to help make your business operate or your household. Like, you can apply creating systems for your house to make it flow better, right? And small businesses, they don't take the time to take what's up here, their systems, and put it on paper, and then put it in a training manual, and then implement it to a team. And this is part of, like, when I started working with the missionaries, is this was a new concept to them. I'm like, I've never heard of this before. I'm like, how do you expect your volunteers to know what to do? Well, they asked me, well, if you have 50 of them, they're all 50 going to ask you? I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's what's been going on. Okay, so take what you have in your mind. And I created a template that first day that he said, hey, I need your help. So I made I don't think here with me, but it's basically a whole bunch of circles. I don't know if you can see that. Okay, so each one of those circles would be, those would be the position. And everything underneath that circle, you're going to write out in detail what that person, that position does. And notice, I was about to say person, but we don't do it all based on people. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. You had Sally working in your business for 20 years. She always did the bookkeeping and payroll. But when Sally left, no one knew what to do. She left abruptly, left out in an ambulance. Never came back. Now what? Right? So you don't base it off of the person.
Mm-hmm.
If you base it off the person, that person is not guaranteed to be there tomorrow. So you base it off position. So that position is whatever, office administrator. And under office administrator, you put in detail, right? I'm all about details. Which is funny because that's not my personality, but I have to nail down details for these certain things or they won't work. But the cool part is when it comes to systems, whoever's listening out there, you only have to do this once. You only have to create the system once. So that upfront work is going to be worth it. And that's what business owners don't do. They put it off because they say it's going to be too hard. It's going to be too grueling. It's going to take too much of my time. But think about all the time you'll save once you create the system, right? Because systems create freedom. It did it for me. Once I created systems, I was able to back out of the business with a few other things, which I'll go ahead and cover real quick. So there's something, I wrote a book with Brian Tracy, and you can see that right here above my head, that book. It's called Winning Strategies for Success, okay? But Brian Tracy talks about the four D's, okay? The four D's is what set my business up for success to where I didn't have to work it every day. So those four D's, the first one is develop. Okay. The next one is delegate. The third D is duplicate. And the fourth D is disappear. Now, it's easy to say, oh yeah, apply the four D's and you'll be able to leave your business in capable hands. No. So you got to understand each D. So the first D is developed. Like, you want to develop yourself first. Because if you don't develop yourself first, you don't know how to develop somebody underneath you. So first you develop yourself. Then you develop a leader. Right? Make sure it's the right leader. And there's ways I have. I've got tools for that. It's called DISC assessments. You find that great leader, then you delegate them properly. Remember, you don't want to decide all day for them. You want to delegate it properly. Then that next D is duplicate. So you duplicate that process over and over again until you have the right leadership and employees underneath that leadership to manage your business. Now, every business is different as far as what that looks like. You might not need a whole bunch of leaders running around, which I don't recommend that. What I do is I put one leader in place and I back out and I coach that leader. I just got off the Zoom call with the one that I get with for my businesses. Now, I know you just heard that, my businesses, because I put one leader in place. I go to that leader. No one else goes to me. They come to me once a week on those Zoom calls. I don't get phone calls or emails unless it's an emergency. They save everything for that one call. And I develop that leader continuously. I'm continuously going over KPIs. I'm continuously going over new strategies to implement. And I'm going over leadership development, coaching. Coaching them to coach their people. And this is, I think, that could be applied to any business. The four D's. If you want to create something, but you don't want to be working in your business, this way you can work on your business. So when we first started out, me and my wife, it was an assisted living facility. Actually, we still have it. It's an assisted living facility, adult daycare, and a logistics company, and they all work together. So the logistics company is essentially Uber drivers for elderly and disabled folks. It went from two employees, which were me and my wife, to now we have 20 employees. And they all know what to do day in, day out, like clockwork. And I watch it from a distance. It grows without me. And that's usually if somebody comes to me and says they're interested in business coaching, I'll ask them this question. Okay, does your business run without you? And usually people say, no, it doesn't run without me. But the ones that do say, yes, it runs without me. I'll say, okay, well, does it grow without you? And if they say yes to that, and I'll say, you probably don't need me. If you got a business that runs without you and grows without you, why do you need a business coach, right? You know what you're doing, which I've never heard anybody say yes on both. And it's possible because I do it. It grows without me. I still have to be mindful of it and create strategies and implement it to the team. But I'm not the one personally doing it. And I know that there's other businesses out there that do. They have businesses that run without them actually pushing the team to do it, and it grows without them as well. But that's where you want to get to create freedom within your business. And that's where I do lifestyle and business coaching, right? Like, yes, I can do just lifestyle. You don't have to be a business owner. I can help you create that lifestyle. We can do the blueprint and paint it beautifully. It's easier to do it with business owners because if they already have a business that runs, it's lucrative. We can get it to run like a well-oiled machine and then have that person back out and live the ideal life that they want. So it just works a little bit easier if they're already a business owner. And doesn't mean that you have to be a business owner to create the perfect lifestyle necessarily. It's just easier. is easier to do that. So yeah, systems are, in my opinion, the most crucial part of creating freedom for your business. You know, between that and leadership development, if you don't have the right leaders, I don't care what kind of systems you have in place, no one's going to go by the systems if the leader is not making it clear and concise on what it is that their team's supposed to do. So that leader is very important. But getting the systems in place is probably one of the hardest things, but it's so worth it. Because once you do it, you can then find the right leader and back out.
Have you ever had to fire a client?
Yeah, it's not something I like to do.
Yeah.
But respectfully, I've had to tell people I'm no longer your coach. Yeah. And it's because some people like the idea of having a coach, but are not coachable.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a mindset, like I mentioned before. You know, and I say there's two ways I want you to look at the world, lessons and blessings. But really, when you narrow it down to basic mindsets, there's only two. There's only two mindsets in the world. There's a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. So the fixed mindset says, you can't teach me anything new. I already know everything. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt and the hat. I've heard it. But the growth mindset says, I want to learn every day. I'm hungry to learn. Show me more. I'm open to what you're saying. Those are, even if they don't move exactly when I tell them to move, it's a whole lot easier to coach somebody with that mindset. It's pretty much impossible to coach somebody with a fixed mindset. It's a choice for them to stay there. They can change that. I believe I used to be fixed mindset years and years ago. I believe I was in a fixed mindset where I was just like, hey, this is me. This is where I'm at. Put up with it or not, I don't care. It was a bad place for me to be. But if I could do it, other people can do it as well. I would say that's something that you can wake up from. But if you're stuck in that, I don't think you can be coached. And I've had some folks that hired me as their coach because they heard about the results, or they heard that the success I've had in business, and maybe it was ego on their part where they just wanted to know what I knew and then say that I already know that. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but respectfully, we're not going to go for it with this. You know?
I'm a little bit of both mindsets. I have my deep rut that I'm in. Like, I leave the house on Tuesdays and Sundays, and that's it. And I work a lot. But I am very much growth mindset because I am always learning. The people I work for just kind of go, hey, Nikki, do this. And I go, sure, let me go figure out how. Like, because that's what I do. I make sure I do it differently than you, but I make sure people can work on their business instead of in their business. So they come to me and they're like, hey, I just got news about this new automation software. I need you to do it. And I'm like, okay, let me learn how. And so I've gained a lot of knowledge that way, just because learning new software and stuff because of people I'm working with. But I read constantly, although not all of them are for business. But I have a problem too when I come across people who are like, you can't tell me anything new. I'm like, dude, I can tell me something new every hour of the day. How are you in a place where nothing gets through? It's not.
Yeah. And that's ego, right? Ego. And we're made to have egos. God made us that way. Everybody has one. But knowing when to tuck that ego away and say, I don't know everything, I think is more courageous, right? Mm-hmm. Than trying to puff your chest up and say, I already know all this. But clearly you're not getting the results. And it's easier to maybe say that. It's harder just to tuck your ego away. And it's harder to learn something new. Uncomfortable at times. And I can kind of tell the difference between comfort zone or fixed mindset. You said something, you're like, I think I'm a little bit of both. I think you got some comfort zones that you don't want to stray away from, and that's fine, right? But stepping outside of that comfort zone from time to time is where you grow. I'm really big on that as well. Comfort zone is a place to go to have your dreams die.
Yeah. My comfort zone is more that I feel safer at home. And so I want to stay home and do, because I have stuff to do. Like, at any time of the day, if you were like, oh yeah, well, we're going to go to the parade. Yeah, I'm not going out in a big crowd. You have fun with that. I'm going to go do something. Anything that makes me not available to go to a parade or a big event like that. just because I don't like being around that many people and noise. But me talking to you right now is me out of my comfort zone. I mean, it's not real hard for me to like step out of it. My comfort zone is about this big.
All of ours are. That's the crazy part, right? Even the most successful people on this planet, what happened with them is they got comfortable being uncomfortable. That's their comfort zone now, is just really stretching themselves any way they can. That's now their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. It works for them though, because once you get comfortable doing that, I used to hear this, and it was God telling me, right? It was God telling me, Jeremy, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I'm like, what does that even mean? But I understood the more times I stepped out there in ways that made me feel uncomfortable, the more opportunity came to the table, more doors that were open, and more people that I met if I wanted just to stay in my comfort zone and not leave the house or not do this or do that. We're all creatures of habit. That's habitual, right? Mm-hmm. So what these ultra successful people do is they got really comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What I found is that it comes back down to not caring what people think. Because that's the uncomfortable part, is caring what people think most of the time, right? At least when you're maybe public speaking or doing something like this, many different areas of your life where you won't act on something because you're afraid of what your mom will say or your friends, right? Or anybody that's influential in your life. What would they think of me if I was to step out and do that and fail? That's what they're worried about, not succeeding, worry about failing. And it's the cool part is failure is a catalyst to success. Mm-hmm. Failure is part of the process. It helps you, just like the lessons and blessings. It helps you see what not to do when you fail. Failure is not the end. True failure is when you stop and you don't try again. You don't learn the lesson and move on. That's true failure, in my opinion.
There was that, if at first you don't succeed, try again. I don't remember where I remember that from.
That's a R&B artist, right?
No, I don't think it's a song. I have no idea. I don't remember where that came from, which is something that I do.
No, but it's true, though. If at first you don't succeed, brush yourself off and try again. And this is something that when I started going down the personal development road and being successful in business and putting myself out there as a coach, my wife would be like, you're really going to go talk to that crowd of people out there? And I would be like,
thanks for making me more nervous.
She was trying to look out for me, right? She wasn't trying to be nervous. She was like, she was nervous for me. But I just had this ringing in my head, be comfortable. Getting uncomfortable, right? And I just made up my mind that I'm not going to care what anybody thinks. I only care what I think. Meaning, not in an egotistical way, that if I go out there and I completely bomb in front of these hundreds of people, I'm going to brush myself off. I'm going to pick myself up, brush myself off, and go to the next crowd, right? I'm not going to let it take a hit to my mission, because I have a mission now, mission driven. I'm out to help people. If that doesn't resonate with some people, or if I mess up while I do it and they all laugh at me, oh well, I'm gonna brush myself off. They're gonna forget about me 5 minutes after I leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I screw up really big, they mm-hmm. might talk about me at dinner later on that night. But that's about the extent of it. They're gonna forget about that. But if I don't try, I don't create the opportunity to be great. And my wife, she's a planner. I'm not, right? She wants to plan every detail. And remember, I told you, I'm not the detail guy, even though I have to be really good at nailing them down for certain people. I'm not the detail guy. My wife is. So when I go to do something, I don't wait till it's perfect. Imperfect action is better than zero action, right? I'd rather just go out there and try my hardest and see what happens. And if I fail at it, it's not true failure, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to learn from it and then come back and do it better. Zig Ziglar has a famous saying that I love. I use this probably on every podcast so far I've ever been on. But I think it's so important what he says here. And it's not just a play on words on this either. He said, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. Isn't that beautiful? I've really hung on to that saying. And that's what I tell her when she told me, you're really going to go out there and speak to those people? You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And so far it's worked out, you know, just fine. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the best public speaker, but I have a story to tell. I have an impact that I want to make in the world. I have a legacy that I'm building. If I don't start now, when will I? You know? And this is what I often ask people. When is the best time to create your lifestyle? 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When's the second best time? Right now. So let's start creating it. Because it's not just going to happen for you. You have to create it. God wants us to be co-creators with him. He wants you to do the work. He wants you to take the action. He wants you to nail down the details. Share it with him and trust in him as you walk it out. It sounds easy. It's really not. It takes faith. It takes grit. It takes sweat. It takes some tears sometimes. But if you're willing to step out there and partner with the best person you could ever partner with, which is God, he'll move mountains for you. He'll put you in front of the right people. I wrote a book with Brian Tracy. That's a pinch me moment. That's, in my opinion, like, he don't have time for me. Well, come to find out he did, you know? And that was important to me, to partner with somebody like him. It didn't necessarily have to be Brian Tracy, but he is somebody that's very influential in my life, my business. You know, and now I've got a relationship with this guy, and he pours out his wisdom further. You know, you think you learn so much from these books, but when you meet him in person, he's just spilling out this knowledge and wisdom that you just write as many notes as you can take.
Do you have any final thought for today?
I think that's a good place to leave it. But I do appreciate the opportunity to come on, and you've been a very gracious host, so I appreciate you, and looking forward to connecting further.